Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Glory, I clap my hands.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, tonight. Sound Doctrine broadcast. Brother Peter is he's driving to go pick up my mom, who had to work late. So it's going to be a sermon night instead of ladies' night, I guess. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord, and we just ask that you bless this message, Lord. We ask that you keep me out of the flesh, Lord, and have the listeners open their hearts and their minds. Use my or your words through me and give them the message that you want them to hear. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prophecy is being fulfilled every single day. This is a great time to be living. We're living in the end times. Jews from all over the world are migrating back to Israel by the thousands. America this year most likely is going to pass gay marriage, an abomination. And also has the UN is going to recognize Palestine as a country. And if they do that, they're going to give Jerusalem as their capital, which means they're going to split up Israel. Boy, the Lord ain't going to have that. He's going to be coming back for his church, I'll tell you that. So be prepared. Get right with the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be preaching about surrender. Surrender to the Lord, submission to the Lord. And we'll talk a little bit about getting saved. Since we are in those times, we need to be saved. If you want to go, if you want to live eternally in heaven, not in hell, in the lake of fire, then you need to get saved and you need to get right with God. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That was Luke 9:23. And then 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Surrender is the first verse. The surrender in the first verse tells us to deny ourselves, deny our flesh, and take up his cross daily and follow him. Daily means every day. We are to surrender to his will daily. For young Christians who have given themselves to Jesus, it is a matter of a great moment, always to hold fast, to confirm and renew this surrender daily. This is the special life of faith. To say anew every day, I have given myself to him and to follow him daily. Meaning, we have to surrender daily to his will. When we pray as soon as we wake up, and some of us do and some of us don't. I know there's a lot of people out there that drop to their knees as soon as they get up in the morning. Some days I do, some days I don't. I'm still guilty of that. Aren't we all? As we wake up and pray, this is when we should surrender ourselves to him, to his will, not ours. This means we should be talking with God while we pray, instead of praying to him or at him. Stop and give him a minute to answer, and he will. Now the second verse, 9:24 of Luke, tells us, whosoever will save his life here on earth, his worldly life, shall lose his eternal life. But when we shed that life of the world and lose it, once we are saved, in Jesus' name, shall save his eternal life in heaven with the Lord. Once we are saved, we are born again, meaning the old person has passed away. If we surrender to him daily, then we continue to follow him. Too many people today are living these so-called saved lives, but they don't want to change. They keep going back to their own vomit. Why do you want to keep living that life? Why fake it, go to church, and be all holy? Then as soon as you leave, you are back to that worldly person you used to be. You haven't surrendered your life to God. And you definitely have not submitted your life to his will. Now, if you will, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Once again, that's Philippians chapter 8, or chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, ye doubtless, Paul's absolute surrender, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung as poop, and I may win Christ. This is Paul's surrender. He suffered the loss of all things so he could win Christ. So he could be saved in salvation. So he could be righteous by faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. And it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possession. Why was he grieved? Jesus tells this rich man exactly what to do. And he was grieved. He was sad. Why? Because he didn't want to give up his worldly life. He didn't want to give up the comfortable things that he had, all his fancy clothes, his food, and everything that a wealthy man has. Cars, houses. This is a demand and complete surrender for the rich man that asked Jesus what else he had to do in order to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him exactly what to do. He needed to sell all his possessions, give to the poor, and take up his cross and follow him. Follow the Lord. Why was it so hard? And then Jesus goes on later to say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get saved or these two stories remind me of submit in James chapter 4, verse 7. And I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. Verse 7. And it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we submit ourselves to God's will, and we resist the devil and his temptations, he will flee from you. with, excuse me. Of course, we know in these times, he may flee from you, but he will always send thoughts, things into your life to tempt you, to turn away from God, and to go back to your old ways. These times right now that we're living in, it's so easy to go back to your old ways. Everything's accessible. Everything's right there for you. And those that do go back to their old ways, they're going to have to answer for that. Where's your treasure in heaven? You're not going to have any. Why? Because you got saved and you didn't do anything. You didn't go soul winning. You didn't go out and look for people. You didn't go out and bring people in. You just got saved and became a pew warmer, a bench warmer, basically. Just sitting there. Going to church every day, being religious, but you're not doing anything for God. We need to get out there. We need to preach the word. We need to soul win. Oh my gosh, did he say soul win? You mean go up to people and talk about Christ? Strangers? Yes, go soul winning. Handing out tracts is one thing. Go soul winning. Go ask people if they know where they're going when they die. All right. Let's look at another type of surrender. Now, this is bodily surrender. And anybody that knows me knows that this is one of my favorite books in the Bible, is Daniel. And the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bodily surrender. Turn to chapter 3, verse 28. Like I said, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. These three stood up for God, and God sent an angel to protect them. And that's Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I wonder how many Christians out there would do that today. How many Christians would stand up for God and say, I am a Christian and I believe in God? We see over in the Iraq area that the ISIS is taking Christians and cutting off their heads because they believe in God. And I'm sure they ask them, you believe in God? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? And they say yes. And they cut their head off. How many other Christians, how many American Christians would do that? You got to think about that. You got to get right. Believe in him. He will deliver you. They were ready to die for the right to worship God. Not only did God save them, but this changed Nebuchadnezzar's word, his decree. They yielded, meaning surrendered their bodies for God. Our God is a mighty God, a very mighty God. And those who surrender fully to him will be blessed. And God will put a shield of protection around you, as he did here. He protected them from a fire so hot that it burned the people that were throwing them in. And they just threw them in, and it caught them on fire. And they went in, and an angel was in there with them. Nebuchadnezzar saw that they were standing around in there like there wasn't no fire. Dude, we're just standing right here, nice and cool. How else could they have done that? Not a hair was singed on their bodies. Not a little, nothing, no blast on their body, no. How could that be? Only God could do that. Only a living God can do something like that. in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. I'll read it. It says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. This is our surrender of power. Paul is telling us that we are to surrender our power and to suffer all things so we do not hinder our gospel message or our testimony. Our testimony is what gets people saved. Why? Because our testimony reaches to those people that are like us or can relate to our testimony. And once they see our testimony and they hear our message and they find something in there that they relate to, God works on their heart. It makes it easier for them to get saved. It makes it easier for them to say, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven or hell. It makes it easier for them to come to Christ. Let's look at how we should submit. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 14, that's 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says we're to submit to government or the law. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. These verses tell us we are to submit to the authority, government, laws, and ordinances of man for the Lord's sake. Meaning, if it's right with the Lord, we're to submit. If it's not right with the Lord, we don't have to. They are sent by him, by the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers. Not Christians. Praise of them that do well. And if we are following the Lord, we should be doing well and not doing evil, right? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. And that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We'll just go back or forward a little bit. And it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. We're to submit to our elders, just like I was taught as a kid, to respect your elders. We are to be subject one to another and recognize that all we are and thing we own are gifts from God. They're all from God. God resisteth the proud. That is a big thing that is not preached too much anymore. God resisteth the proud. Did you hear me out there? God opposes the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. I know now, I wasn't only called to preach. But I was also called to learn. Amen? I am starting to really grasp the way God works on me. Because I have been proud. You know? And I'm learning not to be proud. And to be humble. I have surrendered to Him, but not daily. I have submitted to His call to preach, but if I'm not surrendering daily, I'm not submitting to His will daily. I'm sure all of us can relate in some way or another, since we are all sinners saved by grace. I think I'm preaching a series on how to walk right with the Lord. First it was worthy, and it was trust, patience, obey, now submit, surrender, you know, and I'm blessed in so many ways. And as I learn, I can help preach the word better. Okay, let's go to one of my last points of surrender and sacrifice. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 21 through 44, that's Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which maketh farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, their extra, their leftovers, but she did of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This verse tells us that the rich gave out of their abundance the amount they had extra, the amount they had after they paid their bills, after they paid their car payments, after they paid their house bills, after they got all the food that they need for the paycheck, and they took from their leftovers and gave to God. And the poor widow gave all she had because she wanted to. Not because she had it. Not because she thought it was going to bless her. Not because she thought that it was going to do her good because she wanted to give to God. She wanted to give it to God because she desired to give it to the Lord. She gave all she had, sacrificing her needs for food, shelter, whatever else, clothing. And she sacrificed her needs for the Lord. The Lord will provide our needs if we give our sacrifice for the Lord. This is something I have struggled with, being a family man of six, one income. I found it hard to give, I guess you could say, and I never really thought of this story until Wednesday night when our pastor had explained it. This lady gave all she had because she wanted to, because she had extra. So we're supposed to give first. We're supposed to give before our abundance, before we even get to our abundance. We should be giving, as soon as we get our check, we should be putting that money aside. That 10% goes to the Lord. I realize now how we need to surrender, sacrifice, and submit to God. We talked about surrendering daily. We talked about Paul's surrender. The rich man that was told to give his riches to the poor, and he would have treasures in heaven. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, oh, God just didn't want him to have stuff. No. It's not like that. He wants to know, how faithful are you? How much are you willing to trust in me, the Lord? How faithful are you? Since Jesus died on the cross and the church became what it is, and we became believers of faith and believers of the Word being the Bible, the King James Bible, the only true Word of God. That we should be giving. The rich man, could not give up his stuff. He couldn't give up his worldly things, his cars and money and houses and clothing and fancy jewelry and all that stuff. He didn't want to. He didn't want to submit to Christ. He didn't want to fulfill and be faithful to him. But why? He wasn't ready. The Lord told him exactly what he needed to do. He didn't want to submit to him. That's the problem in this world today. Nobody wants to submit and surrender their lives for God. We all have our differences. We all have our reasons. We all have our beliefs and different religions. But the one thing is true. The church age is based on faith, not on signs and wonders, not on giving, not on works. It's based on faith. How much do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not what we see, but what we believe, what we have faith in. We should be willing. If God came to me today and told me, sell everything, go follow me with the cross of my arm. Go, okay. I've already submitted my life. You know what I mean? Like, I've already, when he called me to preach, I never thought I'd be a preacher. It never crossed my mind. And when I was called that day, and I didn't think I was worthy to be a preacher, I was a sinner. I'm such a bad person. I did all these things, you know what I mean? And I didn't realize that because of what I had done in my past, that was a testimony to the Lord. Sure, I was saved at a young age. That doesn't mean I didn't get into sin. Don't we all get into sin? Yes. We're all sinners saved by grace. As a young Christian, it was hard for me to understand that my pastor is a sinner. And it's hard for a lot of Christians to understand that, and that's why it's hard for them to be faithful to their religion or their church. Because once they realize, they're not told that. These Catholics think that the priest is supposed to be holier than thou, and oh, he can't be married. Oh, he can't be this, and he has to be perfect in God's eyes. Well, he's not really. They're not really perfect either. Wake up and look, because it's right down the street, this Catholic church. There's priests over there that are there Sunday doing their priestly things, and then they're at the casino that night. You know, betting away their money. So, everybody needs to understand, as a young Christian, that everybody is a sinner saved by grace. We all have our sin. We all have our besetting sin. What we need to do is follow and be faithful to Him, to the Lord. Worry about everybody else's sin. That's their sin. They need to deal with that. That's what you get into these problems in these churches. Oh, I saw so-and-so doing this. I saw so-and-so doing that. Well, take it up with them, not with me. You know, and it's one of those things that as Christians, we need to really come back to the core of the Bible and what God wants us to truly do is go out soul winning, preach the message, let them know that Jesus Christ died for them their sins, and all they need to do to get into heaven is repent and believe in Him. The hardest thing for people to do is to believe that the Lord is coming. But the Lord is going to be coming for them. It's not about what you see, people. It's about what you believe. Read the Bible. Read the Bible, because the Bible will give you the understanding and the knowledge what you need on a daily basis. God will give you if you read your Bible. God can reveal so many things through the Bible on a daily basis. The rich man gave up his treasures in heaven to keep his treasures here on earth. And you know what that's going to get him? He's going to get a lake of fire. We've touched on a few ways we are to submit to God, the government, and our elders. We also talked about bodily surrender, how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego surrendered their lives and bodies to the Lord, and how the Lord blessed them and saved them. We touched on surrendering our power and how we should surrender and sacrifice by giving to the Lord. I hope you all got something from this message, because I know I did. And I would like to, you know, throw it out there. Does anybody have any questions or needs to ask me something about what I preached on tonight? You know, feel free to call in, press 1, and let me bring you on. I would also like to ask anybody that is unsure of where they're going. If you're unsure if you're going to heaven or hell, if you're not sure if you're doing right with the Lord, you know, we have that. We all have the unsureness. Oh, am I doing, I'm still sinning. I'm still a sinner. What about this? What about that? What does God think about this? Well, honestly, if you're not surrendering daily and you're not submitting to His will and you're not listening, He's not going to be too happy. Sure, you're saved. Sure, we're all saved by grace. When we repented of our sins and we asked God to come into our heart and we became the new creation that God made us, and we started to realize that the sins that we were doing were not right, not good for the Lord, not good for ourselves, and we got right with the Lord and we started going to church and reading our Bible daily and started... Hello?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I
how
hear
you doing? All right. Who am I talking to? I forgot your name.
Hey, Nathan.
Scott.
Okay. Hey, Scott, how you doing? How you doing,
good,
brother? This is Joe down in Reidsville, North Carolina. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just listening. I listened to the whole... I didn't want to interrupt you, so I waited until you, asked for someone to... come in. So that's when I pushed 1, because I didn't want to interrupt, because I didn't want to be disrespectful, you know. But the question that, so I listened to everything you had to say, and I really don't understand the platform that, what do you say? I mean, I understand about submitting to God and everything, but I don't understand what you mean by submitting to the government. Can you explain, where in my Bible does it say I'm to submit to my government?
Peter, 1 Peter.
Hey, true.
Chapter 2, verse 13 through 14 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well.
Okay. What book was that again? If you don't mind me asking, what book was that? I have my Bible here with me too, because obviously.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, okay. Verse 16 through 14.
Okay. All right. I thought you were going to throw the Romans 13 at me, because the Romans 13 has nothing to do with government authority. But what you just stated there, 1 Peter, yes, submit to the authority by what? Grace of God, and what is approved by God? Is that what you're saying? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. So, So if the government becomes corrupt, we as Christians, if we're submitting to the power of the government and the authority of the government, where do we as Christians draw the line?
When it's not of God.
Excuse me?
If it's not of God, then we don't submit to that law.
Okay, so we're confused now. What's not of God? What's not of God? Explain that. What's like for example, not to cut you off, but like we can't talk about yesterday. Today, we live in 2015. So today, what is not of God? What we as Christians today, living, going to church, you know, doing our Bible study, you know, collecting the money, walking around in our suit and tie, being, you know, and our Bibles in our hand, and cooperating with everything that the system tells us to do. What is not of God today? I mean, do you really think we should submit to the authority of our government today?
Gay marriage is not of God. It's an abomination. There's a few laws that are out there that, you know, are not of God. They're not godly laws, but we don't have to submit to those laws. Sure, abortion's illegal in America, but does my wife have to have an abortion? No, because she's a Christian. She doesn't want to have an abortion.
She doesn't want to have an abortion, but she's helping pay for abortions with her tax dollars. So when you walk, you know, I mean, so you're really supporting abortion technically, because, you know, your tax dollars are, I mean, your representatives, you know, your so-called representatives, whether Republican or Democrat, because I know there's a lot of people, you know, who are conservative, who hate Obama, which Obama is no different than George Bush. George Bush was the worst president I've ever seen or experienced. George Bush is an evil man. So, you know, I mean, everyone takes it out on Obama. You know, Obama is just doing what he's told. But our tax dollars are paying for abortion today. I mean, for instance,
can't control it, can you?
Can you control it? Sure you could. Sure you can control it. You have free liberty. You have free liberty not to participate in the... There's a lot of people who live off the grid who sacrifice for truly what God is about. I mean, there are a lot of people who live off the land. There are a lot of people who have solar power for their homes. There are a lot of people that really work hard every day living Christian lives, and they don't participate in this evil Antichrist system. You know, I mean, like, for instance, I was talking to a Christian brother. Well, I can't really call him a Christian brother because he registered to vote. He said, I'm going to register to vote when the last elections were coming around. I said, you're registering to vote? I said, you know, do you understand what it really means to register to vote? I mean, we're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into a history lesson. But you are really a 14th Amendment slave if you really think you're voting and your vote counts. But anyway, like I said, do we have to participate in the system today? So I'm answering your question. No, you do not. And I forget, you know, I repent every night that I participate in this Antichrist system, because I walk into the store, I fill up my car, and that my gas tax helps pay for abortions. You know, the dollars I spend at these corporations, Home Depot, Lowe's, or my mechanic, or wherever, we're at my bank, I have a checking account. And we know the banking system is pure evil, and I feel bad about that. So what do you the Christians who are truly awake, my question, let me get to the bottom line. The Christians who are truly awake, who really know what is going on today in society, who know what is happening, not the brainwashed Christians who watch Fox News to get their news or CNN or whatever, who watch TV every night to get their information or listen to the radio or read the newspaper. What do we do as Christians, the Christians that are truly awake?
Yep,
what
come
do
on
we
in.
Do?
Hello?
Send them in.
I'm trying to ask a question. I was asking the question, so do you understand my question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, come on in.
Live? Hey, am I live here?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. How you doing tonight, Joe?
I'm doing all right, Peter. I recognize your voice. I'm glad you clicked in. Now, I'm having a little debate here with Scott.
Yeah. We had a little technical difficulty with the program. A lot of calls are dropped, and Nathan has been having a hard time with the switchboard.
Oh, okay.
And I appreciate you, Scott, coming on and plugging for me this evening. What was your question, Joe?
Well, all right, let me shrink it because I don't want to explain the whole 10 minutes again. Scott said, do we have a choice to participate in the system that we have today as Christians? You know, are we really participating in this system? I mean, you have a choice. Like he said, my wife doesn't have to have an abortion. No, true. That's a good choice. But your tax dollars are helping pay for the abortion. So my question is, to those Christians who are truly awake, who know what is going on in society today and know what is happening out their front door and know what, who don't pay attention to the TV, the newspaper, and the radio, because that's all lies, who really know the truth, what advice do you have as a Bible-believing preacher, Christian brother, to us Christians who know what's going on and we don't want to take part in this filthy Antichrist system? Advice can you give me?
The first thing I have to do is I have to look at the question in its whole entirety and its perspective and not chop it into pieces into what would I do, you know, with abortion and what would I do with taxes and what would I do with this, because there isn't a single person in the country who isn't participating.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Don't say that. That's
not
misinformation. There are a lot of people who live off the grid. Lots of people live off the grid.
Anytime they buy something in the store and pay taxes, they're on the grid.
Yes,
okay,
that's true. Yes, you're right. I agree. And I do it.
So therefore they are participating in the system. So
okay, but there are people who do not do that, Peter.
Well, then they must live off the land and they're farmers.
That's
and
true.
They, you know, that's
yes.
Not, yeah, that's yes. Wonderful. But I personally believe this is not my home. I'm
that
a
is
sojourner.
Wonderful.
You know, that's what the Bible says. We're sojourners. And we have to make decisions on what's good and evil, and we have to do it biblically. And so, yes, their governments are corrupt, and so was Rome when Jesus was there, and Peter walked up and said, you know, and they want us to pay taxes, and he says, well, you know, who's, you know, to their kingdom, and he felt that he was of God's kingdom, and he shouldn't. And so, you know, Jesus told him, you know, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Okay? Until he contradicts.
That's Rome, Peter. We don't live in Rome anymore. We live in the United States.
Well, we do live under a government of Rome. It's a representation of government. Rome was a government at the time. And so, to protect the Christian people, you know, and the world from sin, God created the purpose of government. Government isn't to restrain the Christian. It's to restrain the unsaved.
Amen.
So that's what God's purpose of government was. See? Because the Christians should be doing those things that are pleasing unto the Lord at all times. And those who call doing, you know, we have legislators and people in the government who choose to do things that are not correct. And we have a secular government and for the most part. And just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're Christian. You know, just you go to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. You know what I mean?
And you're right, Peter. And you're right. And Peter, you're right. I cannot control what my Christian brothers do out in California. We have to start localized in our community. I can influence my Christian brothers in Reidsville, North Carolina, where I live, you know, but our churches become sick, and I want your personal opinion on this as a pastor and as a doctor, having a doctorate in theology, and whoever else is listening, if they would like to give their opinion on this, what is your opinion? Because I believe, in my opinion, well, I kind of got to say it's a little factual, but let's not go there. What's your opinion, Peter, on 501c3 churches? Once a church becomes a 501c3 church, you are now serving the state. And God said, you cannot serve two fathers.
You're serving the state every time you pay taxes. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yeah, you're serving the state every time you go in and pay taxes.
Hey, okay, well, you're right.
What's the difference? So why,
what's the, you're
so
right.
why decide you want to section it out until one quarter that you find pleasing to make an argument about, when the truth is, listen, you're all serving it. It's just
you're right.
What Caesar's. And unfortunately,
right.
in some states, you cannot operate without a license.
No, I know.
Lester
you're
Roloff
right, Peter.
Tried that. Lester Roloff, who was one of the greatest preachers to ever live in the last century, Lester Roloff had all those homes for children who were wayward and doing a great work for the Lord. And the state came in and said, get a license. And he said no. So he went to prison.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul went to prison. We know that. Peter went to prison. Pastors today are not willing to do that because, hey, we got, you know, I got my fancy suit. I got my nice car.
Yeah.
I got my big house.
Well, you know what happened
to
Lester Roloff? He came out and he had to get a license. If he wanted to operate a place to help Christians, he had to get a license.
That's right. You're right.
And that's what he did. And that's how he helped thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians.
So he gave in to the Antichrist system. He submitted.
He didn't give in to the Antichrist. He gave
sure
to Caesar's
did.
What Caesar's.
So let's just give the Caesar, hey, you know what? My paycheck, you know what? I deposited into the bank. Hey, I don't care. I'm paying for abortions. Hey,
well,
I got to obey my government.
Here's the other problem. You're kind of taking, the brother was preaching a sermon on giving and a right heart and a good Christian walk. And kind of hijacked his program.
No, I didn't, because he called. No, I didn't. I waited and I listened.
Well, I didn't say
and then he called out to the listeners. No, I didn't. He called out to the listeners and asked if anyone thought, had opinions on what he had stated tonight.
I said we.
And that's when I buzzed in.
Yeah, we kind of. That's what I said. I didn't say we
hijacked. You can't hijack a public forum.
I said we.
It's the men's fellowship.
Brother, you can't talk over each other either and have a conversation.
I know. You're very long-winded. You don't let anyone get a chance to say what they got to say. You interrupt them constantly. You know,
but
you make your point, but it's 15
anything.
Minutes long.
I never had a chance to say anything to start with.
All right, well, go ahead. What's your question?
And I give you if it's not my question, okay? I'm the host of the show. I don't have a question.
You're not hosting tonight. Scott is hosting.
You have the question.
Yeah.
And the,
but Scott
and
is hosting the show tonight.
But the problem is this. We've done this 10 times on this program.
But we've never come to a resolution, Peter.
Yeah, well, there is a resolution. Do what your conscience dictates to you to do, and we'll do what our conscience dictates to us to do. And
that's not the right answer, brother. That's not the right
answer. And then let God know, because it's not the answer you want.
No, it's not the answer you want, because you have a lot to sacrifice. You don't want to give up that suit and tie and that brand new car and your house.
I have an answer.
And that's what Scott was talking about tonight. What did Scott say? What was Scott preaching about tonight, Peter? Did you listen to his sermon? I did.
Yes. Yeah, I listened to it.
Okay.
I heard
give on to the Lord.
I heard him preach it on a Sunday in church.
Okay.
About giving to the Lord and giving your heart wholeheartedly.
That's right.
And making a sacrifice to love the Lord, to walk the Christian walk, and to give a testimony.
Okay.
Okay. All I can tell you is, if you believe that's what your conscience, let every man be persuaded in his own conscience. And if being part of a 501c bothers your conscience, then don't do it.
But you have to draw the what's right and what's wrong according to the Bible. That's what I'm trying to ask you. You're giving me hypotheticals.
Wrong. You say it's wrong. I say it's not. So that's it.
Give me biblical proof. Give me biblical proof, Peter.
Jesus said, "Give the Caesar what's Caesar's." I can't.
We don't live with Caesar. We don't serve Caesar.
We do
okay?
serve
Caesar's gone.
Well, obviously, you're being narrow on the subject because the subject is broad and it's government. What Jesus was talking about. Caesar was the head of the government.
Jesus was addressing the Jews at that time. That's in the book of Matthew, like you said. That's
yes.
for the Jew.
Jesus
he's talking
was
to the Jew.
His disciples, and wasn't his disciples going to go on and carry on the church? Yes.
Jesus said, "I say unto you," and he was addressing his the apostles at that time.
Yes.
He wasn't addressing
yes.
the Gentiles.
And what do? We follow in the footsteps of the apostles, don't we?
Not hardly. Not if you're a 501c3 church. I can't see Paul going to get a license.
Like I said, you be persuaded in your conscience, and we'll be persuaded in ours. In the state of California.
What's right? But what's right according to the Bible?
Right is to do what you believe the Bible says, and in your conscience, I have sole liberty. Okay? And in my conscience, if I want to operate a church in the state of California, I must file with a nonprofit, and I must file with the franchise tax board here as a nonprofit. And if I don't, I go to prison.
There's more. There's more. Say more. Okay? Say more. What else? What else?
And so if I don't, I go to jail for
yeah,
tax evasion.
There's more to it than that.
Now, the 501c, by the way, has lifted a new provision. And the new provision is a political provision that if you choose, you can make an election to choose to support a candidate within your church. So, if you waive it, but you have to
You cannot pay. When you're, okay, I agree with you right, so
I don't
far, okay.
Do any of that. I don't want to support any candidate. I don't want
to. But you have to.
All I have to do is, I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ.
No, you don't. No, you can't. You can't as a 501c3.
No,
you can't.
I'm not called to run the government.
But the 501c3 tells you that you cannot speak against homosexuality, number 17 in the rules.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
it does.
Look it up.
It says hate. It says hate speech, and I want you to know my church loves.
I have it in black and white, Peter. I have a copy of the law right here in front of me in black and white. You're giving misinformation to these listeners tonight. You're giving misinformation. I have a copy of the law right here.
Yeah, well, you can have a copy of the law. It says hate speech, and my church loves homosexuals. We don't like the sin of homosexuality.
Yeah, well, you can't speak against them according to the rules of 501c3, brother.
I speak against them. I don't speak against them. I speak what the Word of God says about it. That's what I do, and I'm allowed to do that. So, somebody's been filling a lot of stuff. There's a lot of guys out there that are doing a lot of things, you know, like seatbelts and all those things, but they're not willing to go spend a lot of time in prison. But there's certainly
we're not talking about seatbelts, Peter. We're talking about the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say?
I'm not here to have an argument with you.
We're not having an argument. I'm asking you what the Bible said, and you haven't given me an answer yet.
I did give you the answer. I told you what Jesus said.
No, you didn't. You told me what the worldly system tells you to believe.
Believe what you want to believe. Be persuaded in your own conscience. We're persuaded in ours. And we'll all answer
not,
God when we get there. And
so is that what you're telling me? Okay.
I know one thing. I know I won't be ministering in the church if I'm violating the tax laws and I go to prison and my congregation goes to prison.
Okay, now you just made your point. Now let me ask you a question. What was Scott talking about? Are we going to live for the Lord and sacrifice and give unto the Lord? Or are we going to live according to what everyone else tells us to live because we won't go to prison? Paul went to prison. Peter went to prison.
Paul. You say the same thing about the Apostle Paul.
People
were outside waiting to kill the Apostle Paul. He chose he could have sacrificed his life. And instead, he chose to go out a window in a basket.
He went to prison. Paul went to prison many times. He was arrested.
He went out the window in a basket.
You say we're supposed to live like the apostles in Christ. Well, we're not. Fact. You cannot tell me, cooperating with an Antichrist system in the end of days, that we are living like true Bible-believing Christians. And the church, you're interrupting me. I'm trying to make my point now. I let you make your point. We've had guests on this show
several times.
We've had guests on this show that pointed out the same thing, Peter.
It is. It's the same thing over and over and over and over.
Because you have not answered the question biblically.
Well,
you say, give on to Caesar. What is Caesar? Give on to Caesar. What is Caesar?
I have not answered the question the way you want it answered.
No, not true.
Yeah. Yes.
Not true.
You want to come out on top of an argument, and I'm not looking for an argument. So forget about it.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm asking you a question, and you fail to answer the question, brother.
That is my answer. Now what?
Okay. Well, you're
14.
What's that, Scott?
That is my answer.
1 Peter 2 through 13 through 14.
And that's your answer. You read them to me, and nowhere in those verses does it say we're supposed to commit sin to cooperate with our government. Nowhere
show me where it
say
says,
that.
Show me where it says you shouldn't watch TV in there.
Oh,
show me where
put
it
no
says.
Put no evil thing before thy eye.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Put no evil thing before thy eye. That's where it tells you not to watch TV.
Well,
that's where it tells you not to look at pornography.
Well, see, you agree with me there because that's what you want to hear. But now,
no, because that's what it says, Peter.
So what do you want to do? You can't force an answer out of somebody. We gave you our answer. And our answer is that we give to Caesar what's Caesar's, give to God what's God. And we choose to do what serves the Lord. And if that's not pleasing
that's
to you...
That's not serving the Lord.
Hey,
that's
if not that's
serving
not
the Lord,
brother. Well, okay, so that's your point. We got it. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay, well, you called in, too. Scott posting the show, you know. What are you trying to say?
We appreciate you calling in, and we appreciate you making your point. You asked for our opinion and our and what we believe, and we told you. There's
no, you didn't. What you're doing, Peter, is you're doing happenstance, Peter. You're cutting me off. You're backlashing me because I'm making you look silly. That's the problem.
You're not making me look silly.
Yes,
though.
I am.
What you're
yes,
doing
I am.
Is you're making
because I've gotten tons of emails, Peter, that say you never answer the question. You're very long-winded. We've had callers on this show call you out many times, other than I, who say the same thing what I'm saying.
Well,
and I'm giving you a chance to answer the question.
They haven't emailed me, and I happen to be the host of the show, and I have an email that's available.
You're not the host tonight.
Nobody's
Scott is.
Nobody's emailing me about it.
And the night I hosted the show... They, you know, so what you're doing is you're being on a power trip. You got your suit and tie, you got your Bible in your hand, and you're trying to tell me what to believe.
You came in and you've asked me what my opinion is.
I did not ask you. I asked Scott.
I gave you
what the Bible says about this stuff. Please, are you?
Yes, I'm listening. You keep talking. I'm not going to cut you off like you cut me off. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm listening to what you have to say, Scott. I'm not going to cut you off like Peter cuts me off. Hello? Nathan? I think we've been cut off somehow, some way here.
No, I think we're still...
Well, are we on Scottsville?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I think Peter got lost. I think Peter dropped the call by accident. But anyway, Scott, you know, I apologize to you as a Christian brother if you feel offended by my question. Peter is set in his old ways, and I know he's trying to put on a show for everybody, and I've called him out on that. But I'm not trying to disrespect him in front of other people, but... What I'm trying to say to you, Scott, because you were hosting the show tonight, I listened to what you had said, and I waited for you to ask for callers to call in. Did I not?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Peter seems to think I did not, for some reason, that I hijacked the show. I did not. I waited until you asked for people to ask questions, and I just wanted to come on and ask that question. And you did. You gave me an honest, biblical answer, and I'm going to research it. Thank you. I appreciate that. You
all
know,
right.
And as a Christian, that's the right thing to do. But Peter, he's trying to put on a show for everybody, and I just feel that that's disrespectful. I'm not saying I don't love him as a brother in Christ. I just feel that he's too long-winded.
He's just saying, the last time I was on here, I did something on obey and trust and submit. Somehow submission came up again, and same question came up then, and I didn't have an answer then.
No, you did good tonight, Scott. And really, I mean, you did a good job tonight. I didn't know where you were going with your sermon, and I'm not trying to hijack the show. All I'm saying is, and I don't hijack the show because many people want me on here. I'm going to tell you that right now. When I come on here, that chat box is filled, okay? So don't tell me that, you know, I'm hijacking anything. I can get you 100 listeners right now, right off the bat. So that's not the point, though. The point is we're here to learn about the Lord, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a fellowship. It's not to put on a show. Now, I have a big mouth, yes, but I have a lot of information to give also. And like I said, I did not interrupt you. I let you say what you had to say. And when you handed out your hand, an invitation for people to call in, that's when I buzzed in and asked Nathan to put me through. And that's all I'm trying to make for anyone else who's listening out there. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Say what you got to say. And, you know, and Peter, I love Peter as a brother in Christ. And I'll continue to support this show, and I'll continue to try to get people, win them, you know, to Christ. Is that okay, Scott?
Yep.
All right.
Amen.
All
right.
Amen, brother. Amen. But go ahead. Do what you can do. I mean, I'm on here now. I mean, do you have anything to say to me, or do you want to do some more preaching? I'm willing to listen.
Actually, I was going to do an invitation, so.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sitting here listening, brother.
All right. So if anybody out there is not sure where they're going, not sure if you're going to heaven or hell, and you want to know, the first thing you must do is accept that you are a sinner. Once you accept that you're a sinner, you must accept that as a sinner, you owe a penalty. For the wages of sin is death. Third, you must accept that Jesus Christ has already paid our sin debt. And you must accept by faith what Jesus Christ did for you. By faith. Believe. And if you're out there and you believe these things that I just told you, and you wanna get to know God, and you wanna have God be your Savior, let's pray. If you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I deserve to pay my own sin debt. But I do believe that you died for me that I owe. Today, the best I know how, I trust you as my Savior. I will depend on you from this moment on for my salvation. Now help me to live for you and to be a good Christian. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, I invite you to email us or call in, and I just want you to know that we're here for you. And
Amen.
That's all I have for tonight.
Amen, brother.
Turn it back over to Peter.
Thank you, brother. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on? Hello?
Hello?
My listeners? Oh, I dropped the ball. Hello? Can I speak?
Yes.
Hello? Nathan?
All right. Go ahead. Nathan, you there?
Yeah.
Who's that? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, who's this, Nathan?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing
all right.
Amen.
All right, Nathan. We're good, I guess. Brother says that he's done. And let's have a prayer. We'll pray it out. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to come out here and glorify you and to praise you and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we thank you. We thank our listeners, and we thank our contributors, and we thank those who email us every week and text us and call us. And we're glad that you take the time to listen to the Word of God. We apologize for not having ladies' night. Tonight was supposed to be ladies' night, and there was a technical problem. We had some technical difficulties, and my wife Marilyn had been ill, and Sister Joanna. So So next week we've scheduled for this following Thursday, Ladies Night, the Christian Ladies Broadcast, and we'll have some wonderful teaching from Sister Joanna, who's walking with Christ since she was 10 years old, and she gives some wonderful insight and revelation. God has just blessed her. Sister Marilyn will co-host it, and we'll be glad to have you. And then if you want to make a scheduling note on the Ladies Christian Broadcast, 28th of July, we have to move it up to the 28th of July because Sister Joanna is involved with the Christian Vacation Bible Schools at her church. And she's asked for prayer tonight. They're in search of a pastor down there. And so perhaps a listening audience might keep them in prayer. We'd also ask prayer for Rhonda and Kitty and Fred and Dottie and our own Barbara here. Just had open heart surgery, and her husband Gene. And for the church here in Imperial Beach, we're getting up the Bible Institute. We're revving that thing up, but the prison ministry's going well. And the Sound Doctrine Broadcast, where we're a guest every week. We're grateful for this guest spot. We thank D.L. Brown for giving us that opportunity. Nathan for being on the keyboard for us over there and the switchboard and putting calls through. I know we had a lot of trouble, and lately we've had a lot of trouble. The devil doesn't want us getting out sometimes, and, you know, he is the prince of power and the power of, you know, principality power of the air. And so it's airwaves. You know, what somebody once said to me a few years back, they said, Peter, if you think that radio is bad, where do you get television? There's demons at every level. And I just laughed. I'm not looking for a television spot, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's forces that oppose the Christian Broadcast, and we deal with those things. And so we're glad you're patient. We're glad you listen, and we hope that you've had a good evening. The Lord bless you. And as Brother Scott said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today's a good day, a good day of salvation. And we just thank the Lord for all he's done for us. We want to praise him. We want to thank him for this radio broadcast and all those who participated. Nathan, we're going to turn this over to you. Praise the Lord.